Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Getting It Out Podcast. That was Smoke AD with The Codes We Chose. That's the first track off of their debut EP, Vaya Con Dios, which drops May 14th. That's just next week on Casa de Rock Records. You may have heard of the band. It's a brand new hardcore supergroup. People don't like using those terms, but I think it certainly applies. The band is led by former Madball bassist Hoya Rock. And if you're familiar with heavy hardcore, you know those vocals from Danny Diablo of Crown of Thorns and Scarhead. And if those riffs sound extra heavy, you can best believe that's because Sean Martin's playing guitar. He's of course been in Hatebreed, Twitching Tongues, and does his own kind of thing that you hear a little bit of on the EP when you get the full blast of it. And for the most part, drums on this record were performed by Rig Ross, who's played with Hatebreed, Madball, Scarhead, tons of bands. You see him in a lot of photos behind the kit. Behind a lot of bands because he's reliable, steady, and fucking kills it. How'd they get that extra crunch? Well, that's from Zeus, the producer so famous he only needs one name, and we all know who he is. Again, this project is led by Hoya and combines his two passions, heavy music and marijuana. And as I understand it, he's been hard at work on this for quite a while, and there's more to come. But first, it all begins with Vaya Con Dios, out May 14th on his own, Casa de Rock Records. And from the looks of the cover art, they're coming for the snakes, and I'm ready to watch it all happen. Check it out now, wherever you can. On this episode of the podcast, I've got an interview with Sonny Sandoval of POD. Yes, that POD. Yes, that's Sonny. Does that sound like an unlikely interview to be happening here on Getting It Out podcast? Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. Maybe it all makes sense. And I think it will once you listen to our conversation. So we're going to get to that. But first, it's Hot Zone, baby.
Check it! Make family out of friends! Make friends out of enemies! Peace to my family! Make friends till they bury all the places we've been! We're never sitting it out! We'll be getting it in! Where you getting it out? I said all the places we've been! We're never sitting it out! We'll be getting it in! Where you getting it out?
Maybe it's not real. Maybe I've made this up in my mind. But each time that I have somebody more mainstream, a band more popular on the podcast, I feel like I got to make some sort of explanation, some sort of justification. I don't think that's real. I don't think that's necessary. I think it's just a insecurity that I have of not being cult enough, of not being down enough, of not being punk enough. But as they say in the streets, that's a bunch of hooey. Because I always have still behind, I will have whoever I want to have on this podcast, as long as it's music that I like. POD, that's a band that I like and I have for a long time. Truthfully, I don't know what happened after, say, 2001, and I'm not afraid to admit that either. In fact, I probably didn't like what POD was doing for a good chunk of 20 years or so. But I also had my head in the thick clouds of hardcore that I missed a lot of cool stuff. And I like going back and revisiting things and checking out what I missed, whether it's something popular like POD or something underground, like, I don't know, fucking Neurosis. All of it's valid to me. I don't really care how accessible it is to the mainstream or to the underground or any of that nonsense. It's become easier as you get older to be about it instead of talk about it, right? But some people have been doing exactly what they want, listening, performing, playing, expressing all their beliefs, feelings, intentions for nearly their entire public existence. And Sonny Sandoval of POD is an absolute excellent example of exactly that. And while that alone is respectable, there's also a nostalgic part of POD for me. The Fundamental Elements of Southtown is a record I highly enjoy. I did when it came out. So I'm always going to jump at the opportunity to talk to somebody like Sonny. I've turned down other things. And there's a lot that I turned down that could generate a lot of clicks and listens and all that nonsense, but it's not stuff that I feel like I have a connection to. I'd essentially have to fake the conversation. This time around, I didn't have to do any of that at all. And that's not something I ever want to do. My excitement for speaking to Sonny and their new record Veritas is real, and I'm happy to share it with you now. You could have heard this early, by the way, a week early, if you'd sign up for the Patreon for just a measly $2 a month. You get early ad-free access to all Getting It Out podcast interviews, and there's quite a few a coming. I've recorded 4 in the last 3 days, but there are currently 5 in the bank and on the horizon. I got for you High Desert Queen, The Red Chord, Wretched Blessing, Terminal Nation, and some Pontley. So if this episode isn't scratching your underground itch, don't worry, extreme people, there's more to come. But while you wait for that to drop, let's get moving with this episode. I'm going to play you the first track from POD's new album, Veritas. It's available now everywhere, courtesy of Mascot Records. This song is called Drop and features Randy Blythe of Lamb of God. And then my conversation with Sonny Sandoval of POD.
Nos alegra que estés aquí con nosotros en otro viaje musical. Gracias por su atención. Con amor. Bienvenidos a Veritas.
over here on the East Coast in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Which I know is an area you're familiar with because you guys used to play out here somewhat regularly going back 20 years.
Yeah.
I was trying to think about when I first remember you coming out here. I first remember seeing you out here, and it was summer of 2000, and you guys were playing Purple Door in Lebanon, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And that was that's like right when you guys were breaking big, right?
Yeah. Well, 2000 Purple Door, we were doing Purple Door in the late 90s, but,
right.
If 2000, that means Fundamental would have already been out.
Yeah.
We would have already had exposure on MTV and mainstream. I think that 2000 is funny because I think we rolled up there with one of on a bus for like the first time. You know what I mean? We were on steady tours all year long, and my wife was pregnant on the bus with my first daughter. So it's crazy. Yeah. Purple Door.
That's how I remember it too. Like I said, that's when you guys were just breaking big. Like that was like all POD's back in the, you know, as big as any band has ever been playing that. It felt like at the time.
Yeah. I think, well, those years surrounding that was big excitement for us because, you know, and especially in those circles, you know, we had signed to a major label that was huge, you know, having the exposure that we did and on regular, you know, like platforms and stuff, MTV, TV shows, people were excited for us.
Yeah, it was great. I remember my first exposure to you guys. I guess it would have been the Southtown video, which I'm sure it's the same for a lot of people. But there was something really interesting to me about POD back then, and still to this day, is that I was really into hardcore. Still am. That's my thing, right? But there was a band, you guys, that looked like a hardcore band. Did a lot of things. You were wearing a No Innocent Victim shirt. Your drummer was wearing a Zayo shirt. You know, like there was all these references. There's people X'd up in the crowd. It looked like looked like a hardcore show, but it had that different style that I really gravitated to, and I've been listening to you guys ever since.
Yeah, man. We come from that scene. You know what I mean? Since '92, playing with all the straight edge bands here and. You know, Chula Vista, San Diego bands. We just happened to be that band that was discovering faith. And, you know, when you were in the hardcore scene, you were about something, you know? That was always our mentality. And we've always been, you know, from the neighborhood, we've always had that punk rock mentality, but we flirted around with other styles because we were fans of all kinds of music, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think we can be ourselves in the hardcore scene because it was about what you believe. We were playing with white power bands and, you know, skins and all this stuff, but it was just what you did, right? You just showed up and whoever was on stage. But, you know, the more we kind of got into the mainstream and the metal scene, then it was like, then they started to categorize us as, this is a Christian band or this is this or that. You know what I mean? Right. It's like, but if when we were a hardcore band, we were just a band killing it. You know, if we were a reggae band, we'd just be a reggae band. But because we were in this kind of mainstream scene or whatever, they wanted to put us in a box. And so we've always had to kind of fight that and, you know, just try to be ourselves, but, you know, not get caught up in all the stereotypes.
Sure. And like, of course, I'm totally familiar with what you're talking about because in hardcore specifically, or punk, you even call it that. Every band kind of had their message. There was whether it was a faith-based band, whether that was Christian or Krishna or straight edge or, you know, I don't know, just a fucking
vegan
party band. Yeah, whatever. Like everybody had an agenda to some degree. Yeah. You
know? Right. You just had to be about it and you were respected for being about it, you know?
Right.
But when we got into the metal scene, it's kind of like, hey, don't push that on us. And I was like, wait a minute. Aren't you guys about something too? You know, I don't know. You know?
Yeah. Well, sometimes they just like the vagueness of it all. I guess that's something that I always found interesting is that, like on those early records, and of course, those are always like formative stuff, the stuff, the punk Brown, you were really, really kind of obvious with the faith based stuff. Like you were kind of hammering people over the head with it, which was fine. Like we said in there, was there a conscious decision to make it more subtle when you hit the mainstream?
To some degree, but I think it was just, it's just maturity, man. You know, we were teenagers and discovering faith, you know, here I am over 30 years later walking in faith and I'm still trying to figure it out. You know what I mean? So imagine being a kid from the street, and we're coming from, you know, street mentality and almost even almost gang mentality, where it's like, well, this is what I'm about. What, you know, yeah. But that doesn't go together with Jesus. You know what I mean? I mean, Jesus was a rebel, but he wasn't beating people up. You know what I'm saying? But that's how it is. It wasn't a hardcore scene. It was like, you know, all my friends that would come to our shows, didn't mean they were Christians just because I was.
Yeah.
You know, my friends were in the pit and they were in there pitting it up and getting into fights because we were playing with white power bands. We were playing with bands that were saying, you know, whatever, F your beliefs, F your faith, whatever.
Sure. Yeah.
So my boys were throwing down, as were we. That wasn't like uncommon for us. But as you mature and you realize, wait a minute, like this isn't, I'm not really, you know, this really isn't my faith. I don't have to defend my faith like that, right? I just have to keep growing. And as we did, you know, we were just kids, man. And so you get into, you know, almost 9 years later into fundamental, and still we were very like that mentality. But as we had seen some success and that record went platinum, it was like, you know what? We have a chance to go more globally now. We have a bigger platform. So, you know, like we were conscious about it. Like, hey, we need to be a little bit universal. And that was just the transition for us, you know, because we didn't want to be just pigeonholed in a certain group. It was like, you know, why can't we talk about, we were always talking about love, but maybe we talk it in a way that, or say it in a way that's just more universal to whoever's listening to it. But I never shied away from what I believe in and stuff. I just right. continue to grow in it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to that, you've been extremely successful because people are always ready and willing to jump on that when they see it and tear it apart. But you've persevered through it as POD, as a band, as a person. And I think that's pretty impressive to still keep that going all these years.
Thanks, man. I mean, none of us are perfect. We're just growing. You know, we've changed a lot in our views, even as a band. It's like not even all the band agrees on everything. You know what I mean? Right. But we know that we love each other. We're here. We are 32 years later, still being able to make music. And our common goal is to encourage people, you know, in love and in faith. But we've all been through the ring ourselves. You know what I mean? So it's like trial and error, you know. But I think with POD, we've just we've been real, we've been genuine with it, you know, and we make music that's from the heart. So, you know, I think people can see that.
I think so too. And I think that's why we're talking about the band 20 years from when I discovered it, over 20 years, almost a quarter of a century from the first time I was thinking about how to say it in that phrase, a quarter century. That's pretty good.
That's pretty crazy.
Well, of course, we're talking because you got a new album. It's called Veritas. It comes out on Mascot Records. May 3rd, I think, is the official release date. And I've been listening to it a lot lately because I've had the fortune enough to have the promo. And it's heavier than I was expecting. Is that something you knew you guys were going to do this time around?
It's funny because I think sometimes we just have to sometimes almost like define heavy. You know what I mean? To me, it's just another record, but I do realize, and you know, that the last record was definitely a lot more alternative and had more poppy end to it. Mm-hmm. But I think with this record, it wasn't intentional. We were just trying to write a new record, and it was different. It was right in the middle of COVID. There were so many different things going on with the band. You know, I remember showing up to the studio and having to wear the mask, you know, and it was like, normally we sit together and we write, you know, all of us looking at each other, old school style, you know, but this time was different. Our bass player he moved to Nashville, all kinds of stuff. So now it was just my guitarist and I, and we were like, let's cruise up to LA and we'll just start piecing stuff together. When normally we just have a bunch of songs, then we show our producer. And then we go in the studio. Now it was really just piecing stuff together. So it was on a like song to song basis. And I think by the time it was done was when we realized, hey, you know, this is more the meat and potatoes of what POD is. It's not all the spices, you know, in there a little bit, but definitely not like it has been before. You know what I mean? But hindsight now, I realize that even in the scene that we're in this music, not everybody's up for the spicy all the time, you know, and I could look back and say that now where I think this is the kind of record we need, is more just meat and potatoes. I'm not a meat and potatoes. I mean, obviously I love meat and potatoes, but I like flavor. You know, I like my spices. I like my ethnic herbs and I like all this different stuff to make this gourmet dish. When the reality is in the genre we play, people just give me my meat and potatoes.
Right.
Right. I don't mess with those POD boys. They're a little too spicy for me. And so I get it. You know, that's always say this, like, dude, I can't stand McDonald's. I don't eat it. I know everybody knows it's going to kill you eventually, but it's the number one fast food chain in all the world. Anywhere you go in the world, you see that M. You don't even have to speak English. You don't have to do whatever. You just see that M and you know it's McDonald's.
Right.
And sometimes I feel like music is like that too. It's like, bro, we want to go to McDonald's? Like, our options are just endless. You know what I mean? Why are we going to McDonald's? But you'll never answer that. People just like their McDonald's. And for us, POD has always been in this metal world the same way, where it's like, we're not McDonald's. I'm sorry, but I'm not, but I also we don't have the success McDonald's does either. Right. Because we're trying to make a quality burger here, but does it matter who you are? Some people just don't want a quality burger. They want McDonald's. And so I think this record, to get back to your point, is just, here's the meat and potatoes, man. Let's just tear into it.
That's a great analogy. And it's real funny. It makes me think of this argument that I've had with everybody I've ever known in my life, where I talk about how I like chips and everybody wants me to put them in a dip. And I don't want to dip my chips. I just like chips. I don't, I don't care what the dip is. I like the chip. Why am I dipping it?
Yeah. Or why have a flavored chip dipping into another flavor?
Come on, man. It's chaos. This also reminds me of me and my wife discussing meals or dinner. She's from Italy, so she wants to make, you know, lots of flavor. I grew up white Pennsylvania suburbs where we had chicken nuggets and maybe a hamburger. Exactly. You know what I mean?
Like, exactly, bro. See, my mother, my grandmother are from Italy, so same thing. You know, my grandmother's a chef. She's passed it up down onto my own wife. And so we like to cook, you know, we like flavors. But you just don't understand when everybody's like, you know, I'll stick with my chicken nuggets. It's like, no, you're the problem. It's not this gourmet meal over here. We spent hours in family vibes, you know what I mean? Making this meal and you don't eat it. You've got the problem. We don't have the problem.
That's right. Well, you know, fortunately, as a mature adult, I realized that, you know, to keep my mouth shut with the meal you know, enjoy it and appreciate it. But and I can do that. But it's just funny that, you know, we have our little arguments about food, and it's always based around she wants more flavor, I want less. You know.
Well, that's true, man.
Back to the record. This first album in 6 years. That's got to be the longest, or almost 6 years, something like that. Yeah. It's got to be the longest gap between records, right?
Yeah. But we were done with it, mixed and mastered, a year and a half ago.
Okay.
So it's just, I think it's just the COVID thing kind of pushed it back, all these schedules and stuff. But, you know, I'm cool with it. I like the way it's turned out. You know, we've been able to waterfall like four different songs. You know what I mean? By the time the record comes out, we'll release another tune. So it's just like, you know, it feels like people are excited, and I don't know, maybe it's just cause we're making them wait. Like I hate waiting, you know what I mean? And this is definitely the longest we've had to wait. So it's definitely a little frustrating, but I think it'll all be worth it once the album's out.
I think so too. And I think it's actually the most buzz I've heard about POD in quite a while. And I know what buzz means to me. Buzz to me it means on my level, where I'm in tune with the underground hardcore heavy metal. Like, that's my world, right? And I hear more reverence for POD now in this area than I feel like I ever have. And it's really interesting. Yeah. like on that level, because I didn't think that was ever going to happen again.
Yeah. I mean, we're still learning as we go too. I mean, you know, I feel that way too. I have a lot of people hitting me up saying, man, I feel like I've seen you guys around. It's not like we've ever quit. We've been grinding.
Right.
All these years, you know what I mean? It might have been to our advantage to stop grinding for a while, but it's like, we're blue collar, you know, band. We have to get out there and play. And the fact that we're old school is, you know, we're not always hip on everything. Like, how do you get the buzz? It's because what we're doing right now, you know what I mean? But if you were to ask me, like back in the day, like, we didn't have this stuff. You know what I mean? I don't want to be on my phone 24/7 liking this or that, or reposting this and that. Like, I'm not, dude, I'm not a kid, you know what I mean? But you have to do these things, which sucks, because I wish it was just about the music. Mm-hmm. But even just being in the mix of everything and having same old stuff. The reason why we took a break, you know, a while ago was like, man, we were tired of being a part of the system that says do this and do that. And you want to get on so-and-so's, you know, good side, and you want to do all this. Like, dude, this is what I hate about this industry. You know what I mean? And because we spent so many years independently and underground, it was like, man, this Hollywood business is not for me. You know, I don't like playing this game, but I'm not saying we're playing the game now. It's just like, you know, we're trying to surround ourselves with the right people that, you know, hey, are just making it visual to whoever. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. I think with any band with a degree of success, like you guys have had, it's almost always the same story. You get screwed over just by some, in some way by a record label. Right. And you don't seem like the type of people or band to really dwell on that, but obviously it's had an effect. How has it positively had an effect? Maybe you just said it, you decided to surround yourself with the right people.
Yeah. I mean, we're definitely trying to do that, but I mean, it kind of goes full circle with just who we are as, you know, just as people, you know, at the end of the day, like, yeah, man, we've experienced a certain amount of success and we've done that stuff. And, but even in the middle of it, we realized this is not, it's not everything, you know? And at the end of the day, like I have to, you know, when I die, I'd rather have my integrity and my honor intact. You know what I mean? I mean, do I want, my bank account to be solid? Of course I do. I got kids I'm trying to put through college, but I'm also surrounded by a lot of bands and a lot of people that they don't care. They sold out a long time ago. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And I wish I could. Can I just, I'll just say that for the record, for my financial state, I wish I could sell out, but I can't. And I can't go back. And we can as a band on, you know, who we are. Again, not that we're perfect, but it's like, you know what? We've made a stance where this is who we are and we can't go back. We're not going to change. And that's why we took a little bit of time for music, because we were just a band from the neighborhood making music. And then all of a sudden you see a little success and all of a sudden you mean something now. And now everybody wants to tell you what band to be and how to do this and how to do that. And after a while I was like, you know what? I'm tired of this, man. Like I'm cool. Like I'm cool with just going home and working a 9-to-5 if I have to. Mm-hmm. Do I want to? No, I love what I do, you know, but I'm at the same point now, you know what I mean? I'm here. I am 50 years old and I'm like, I'm still blessed to be able to do this, but the industry keeps changing. Mm-hmm. And it's like, how much longer can I do this? I can't keep up with this anymore. Like, I just want to make music with my friends and I want to play shows and I want to go out, but I also want to put my kids through college. Right. And now it's that whole rat race. And like I said, we're a touring band. People think POD and they think, oh my gosh, you guys are rock stars and you have, you know, money and all this stuff. And it's like, nah, man, we're grinding. We've never stopped grinding. You know, I don't know why that is. I don't know how we've gotten here. I just know that I still love doing it. But I also ask myself every day, how much longer can I do it? It's not that I don't want to, but playing the game of, you know, trying to sell concert tickets and push records and they want to do some acoustic radio shows now at 5 a.m. at this radio station, or they're not going to play your single. And it's like, we've been doing that for too long. And like, bro, I'm just tired of it, man. I wish people would just say, nah, man, those guys, they've paid more than their dues. They've been around. These guys are a solid staple, dude. This is POD, man. Check them out. I'm playing them on my radio station, or I'm pushing them, I'm promoting them. But we're not in that circle, because there are those circles that it's like, nah, that's why you see the same five bands all the time, the same people, the same bands going out. It's like, dude, sometimes you're just like, man, I can only go as long as I can. I mean, I love doing it. I'll keep going until the very end, but it's like, when does it start being about the music and the individual, the band itself?
Yeah.
So it's just, it's a weird game.
Sure. And I thought when things kind of shifted to streaming, that naively, I thought it would somehow benefit the bands being just about the music, not having to get on to certain channels. Yeah. But then it just became a different thing. Now you got to get on the playlist. Now you got to get, you know, and I have no clue how that works. I don't listen to them. I guess it's, I don't know who listens to them, but obviously it's important, right? You know, I don't know who's pulling the strings anymore. And it's, I'm sure.
Yeah, no.
Much more frustrating for you.
Oh yeah. That's the new radio, or that's the new label, or that's the new whatever. It's like, they've just figured out a way to, you know, take over that and make it their own. And so we're still fighting the same machine, you know, and that's a whole nother thing. It's like, you know, how long, you know, big up to Lars and all them for trying to fight NAFTA back in the day. You know what I mean? They saw the future, you know what I mean? And it's like, okay, cool. That's awesome. That music is free now, basically. Right. Right. We're not selling records anymore, but yeah, exactly. But so here we are, and you know, you look at your Spotify numbers, or you look at all your YouTube numbers, and you're like, we're in the hundreds of millions, and this is crazy. Where's the royalties? Where's the publishing? Where's the money? And most bands like us that are blue collar, like, we need that money just so that we can go and fight, you know, the other machine, and that's touring, and that's all this stuff. Or maybe ticket sales would be less if the artist was actually getting paid what they deserve on the streaming, you know, because these companies are making billions of dollars, and they're using our music and our videos to, you know, that's the worm on the hook trying to get the fish. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, once they catch their fish, they forget that, oh, what, you forgot to pay the artist. So I'm hoping that all that turns around, because it's not going to make us rich, but it's going to say, hey, you, first of all, you deserve this because you've made, you know, this is your 11th album. You guys have made great music. It's obviously it's hundreds of millions of streams. Somebody likes it, sure. But you have to get paid for it so that there's an incentive to say, hey, you know what? I really want to do a 12th record. You know, I really want to tour around the world. Because they're asking us in France, when you guys come into France? Hey, when you come into South America? When you come in whatever? It's like, well, we got to get paid to do.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
To do this, you know, because they're not paying us to do it, or you're breaking even, you know. Now it's like, you know, whatever, like it's triple for a bus or gas or even just tour expenses. And it's like, this is wild, but you know, the artist needs to get what they're due first. And that's the music that they've already created. We're not even talking about future music.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. I think I've heard you mention before that, you're still recouping, quote unquote, for stuff on Atlantic, right?
Yeah, man. That's insane. So you don't believe it. You know, we've heard all our life, oh, the label was created to keep the artists in debt. It's like a famous rap lyric. You know what I mean? You're like, oh, okay, well, that's them, not us. And then when you go through the system, it's like, it just sneaks up on you. Like, wait a minute. But then, you know, it was such a great season, but you didn't know that they were keeping tab. You thought that you were earning it as you go. You thought it was being paid as you go. You know, it's like, they were the ones telling us, oh, you sell X amount of records, we'll get you a first class ticket. You know, every time you go from here to there, it's like, this is cool. And you feel like you earned it, right? Oh, we sold a million records. We get to ride first class for the first time. Little did we know. Because if it was us, that the street mentality would be like, I'm cool with coach, dude.
Yeah, put me in the back. Yeah.
I don't need to be a first class. I'm cool with coach. Because if it's coming out of my pocket, I don't need to be in first class. I'm, you know, to fit or whatever. I'm not, I don't need my ego stroked or whatever. I don't need to feel important. I'm cool because even if I have the money in my bank account, I'm not paying for first class just because, right. First of all, I don't have it like that. But dude, my mentality is like, no, I got three kids I got to put through college. Like there's priorities, you know what I mean? But not everybody in the business think they have priorities. It's like, oh no, all I want to achieve in life is first class and what people think of me, you know? And I'm like, dude, I don't care less what you think of me, dude. I just want to put my kids to college.
That's a hell of an expense right there. I mean, I'm staring at that. Yeah. I'm staring at that at the moment too. And
it sucks, man.
but it's good, but you want it. You know what I mean? But then you see the price tag. Yeah. Holy shit. Yeah.
Dude.
Well, bananas. Back to the album a little bit. You mentioned 11th album, first album without Wolf on drums. Did that contribute to the meat and potatoes style writing on this record that you mentioned before?
I mean, you could say yes, you could say no, you know, but Trey wasn't there either. Right. The majority of it, because he was in Nashville, you know? And so, I mean, obviously we were keeping him in the loop, but it was like, hey, let's just get a lot of this done. You know what I mean? And then then we've never written like that before. So, you know, there was a lot of internal stuff going on in the band. Like I said, Trey wasn't there. And at some point, all the bands that were writing during COVID, everybody was, expected to have some material. And because we were kind of going through this, we started coming out of COVID and we're like, we don't have nothing. You know what I mean? So I think the label is kind of, what are you guys doing? It's like, well, first of all, when I like being home, you know, we've been touring for 30 years. It's like, it's actually nice to be home with my family. But, you know, once we started to finally have to put some stuff down, you know, it was the only way we could do it was just Marcos and I, you know, and because, you know, this music starts with guitars, you know what I mean? And then I'll add the vocals and we'll piece stuff together. So, it's just what it is. But the truth is I'm so happy with the result that, you know, I think we, and because of technology like this, you know, we're even on this tour, we already have our computer and our, you know, all our little stuff that we can go and sit in the back of the bus now and write riffs, and I can plug in the mic and I can do, you know, I can freestyle some ideas. And it's like, that's how easy it is now, you know? Yeah. And so it's just a different technology.
You got to kind of come up in all of it. Cause I imagine when you started, you were recording analog too. So you did all that on that side, all that on this side. I mean, even when I started doing this, I was sitting in the back of venues with a pen and a paper and asking some questions. It wasn't.
It's old school, man. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, two other things about this record that I really enjoy, and something that I really enjoy that you guys have been doing the entire time, is including guest vocalists on your tracks. This one, you got Randy from Lamb of God and Tatiana from Ginger. That track that she's on, by the way, has been stuck in my head for a week now straight, which I think is what you want. So that's
good.
That's great. But I love that you have Randy on here too. Of course, being into the heavier stuff myself, I love seeing him on. But even going back, I look back at all the other people that you had on, people like Lou from Sick of It All, or especially HR from Bad Brains, who's, you know, I know you've been like a champion of and getting him out there. And that's very cool. I used to have a band when I lived in Baltimore, and we practiced out of a warehouse. And in that warehouse, there was nothing else except for, it was a couple band practice spaces and HR's bedroom. His bedroom was like right beside us. And he would just show up at shows. I got to shout out the sidebar in Baltimore. It's like a 100-cap room. The stage is like 4 inches high, you know, and you'd just be in there for your hardcore, your punk rock, your metal, whatever. And HR would just show up and, you know, in different ways, man. Sometimes you were wearing a sumo suit for some reason, but
yeah.
You get up on stage. Yep. Everybody always let him get up on stage and do an impromptu set. So anyway, I know that you're a fan of his.
Dude.
So I just wanted to throw that anecdote in, but my point is that you have all these guests and you have two guests on here and you've picked a lot of good ones in the past. Do you got like a list or something? What's going on? How do you come up with these people?
I mean, I, you know, other than like, you know, Anthrax, Public Enemy, you know, Blondie, Fab Five Freddy, you know what I mean? Aerosmith, Run DMC, like, you know, those were iconic for their time, you know what I mean? But we're hip hop heads, so it's always been that way. They've always had collabs. We've done collabs in our independent work, you know what I mean? So when we finally got to Satellite, you know, it was like we still wanted to do that. And we were able to do it with the HR Ika Mouse. But for us, it was just a bonus for us. I mean, these were legends to us, you know, and these are our heroes. And so we were trying to expose our heroes to the people that were now listening to POD. It was like, couldn't be no POD if it wasn't for HR or, you know, Mike Mir from Suicidal or whoever. We've featured them, you know, all of our favorites. I mean, we still have a lot that we like, but we've always taken pride in doing that. And, you know, and they all did that because they love our band. It's not just like we didn't pay them. You know what I mean? Right. You want so-and-so now from whatever, you got to pay them big bucks. But we're not going to do that.
Websites for it, I believe. I believe you can just go on the website. Yeah. Order. Hey,
I'm on it. You know what I'm saying? Like, dude, I mean, I'm very picky and choosy, right? Sure. But still.
Hey, if I could be on it, I'd be on it too. That's not.
Exactly. So we've all, you know, even like with Mike Mir, I think when Mike Mir jumped on our record, I don't think he ever did a collaboration or guest vocal. Right. I don't know if he's done one since.
Man, I can't. I can't think of anything I've ever remember him appearing on other than yours.
Dude, I was listening. I turned that on the other day too, because you know we're trying to build our set. I threw it on the other day and I was like, freaking Mike Mir's on our track, dude. Like, I listened to it. And when you listen to him, you're like, that's freaking Mike Mir. And you're like, he's just killing it. And I'm like, these kids nowadays, they don't see that stuff. They don't see the importance of that. And like, what that means to like, to us, mm-hmm. you know, now it's like, you get 2 seconds of content, you know, TikTok, flip it up and down, done. You're like, no, dude, you're missing it all. You know what I mean? This is legendary stuff right here. So anyways, you know, we've had people that we really love, respect, and, you know, we feel is unique. And it's no different for this record. You know, it's not, they're still current. It's not like we didn't grab them. They're not living legends. I mean, they're legends in their own mind. but we love Lamb of God. We love Ginger, but it's like, they're part of the POD family and they're both amazing people. And it just fit the tracks that we wanted. And so as friends, we asked them, you know, and then we also grabbed the homie Cove from Scary Kids, Scaring Kids, Seosin, you know, Dead American. And he's on one of my favorite tracks on the record. And it's just, he's from San Diego. So that was our connection too. Saying, dude, another cat from San Diego who's doing it and who's great, you know, is gifted and talented, and check out his vocal, man. He's awesome. You know, so, and at the end of the day, it's just, we just love doing it.
That's great. I love it too. I love seeing it. It's always like a cool thing when you get a new POD record to see who's going to be on there. And, and whether it is or not, you know, it's so, because sometimes you see bands that totally overdo it. That's like it's like a rap record. Every record, every track's got a guest vocals. That's too much. But when there's a couple, it's just it's nice. It's nice. And, you mentioned already that you've released 4 tracks from the album so far. By the time it comes out, it'll be 5. You've done 4 music videos for those as well, or at least, which is interesting to me because, like I said, I found POD by a music video, and I've seen you guys have always stuck with doing the music videos. Is that drive to continue the visual representation, like based on your past experience, or is that just an aspect you love including? Because I know that costs money. That's an extra expense you don't necessarily need to have for every track. So tell me about that decision to continue to put out that many videos.
Well, here comes the Hustlers, POD. Like, obviously it's fun, but that's work. So if I didn't have to do videos, I don't need to do videos, but that's a whole nother way of, it's visual. We are a visual people now. That's part of this game that I hate playing, you know, because now it's not about going in the record store and put on your headphones and going through every song and saying, man, I really dig this band. I'm going to buy this record and I'm going to follow them and I'm going to go see them the next time they play. And what else is the band is a mystery to me. Right now, it's just, everything is 5 seconds right here on your computer, visual, you're swiping through your Instagram. We've lost our capability to pay attention. right? And so with the videos, that's actually, the homie did it. I mean, we don't even have the budget for it. If anything, we turned friggin' two nickels into $5, and we've made that. And you'll see even with our next one, it was filmed in one take. And so we're going to call that abstract art, right? We're going to call it punk rock. We're going to be art. So all these kids now, it's trendy. They're going to see that video and be like, oh my gosh, it's genius. Nah, dude, it's on your iPhone now. It's on your iPhone, right? But it's so amazing. And it's like, dude, nah, because we're trying to stick to a budget here. And because we know people want a visual, we did it. We're like, you know what? That's cool, dude. To me, that reminds me of the Bad Brains. It reminds me of when they had a jacked up camera and that's all they could is film the one time. You know, like, who told us we had to spend $500,000 on a video and get cars flipping upside down and get actors and spend 3 days on it? Like, dude, we did it because you told us we had to do it. You know. So big up to all these independent kids. Now they're like, nah, dude, I got my iPhone, bro. I'm filming. I'm on the road. You know, we're grinding. I'm getting footage of the streets, and they're doing it on their own. And so that we have the same mentality where it's like, dude, we're going to make it happen no matter what. You know, Afraid to Die looks like it's $1 million budget, that video. But again, that was the homie saying, dude, I got you guys. And, you know, there's a kid that's like, oh, dude, I'm messing with computer graphics and I love your band. And yeah. I'm like, heck yeah, go to work, dude. And so they're, you know, because they love the band, they're doing it. You know what I mean? And so we're grinding, bro. It's not like we have this budget and stuff to do it. But also, you know, someone just has to tell me when you don't, you know, when YouTube shuts down, then I guess we won't do videos anymore. You know what I mean? But it's part of the game.
It's going to be around for a while. I think you're. Yeah,
exactly. So that's just one more thing we got to do, you know, if it's still around.
Yeah. Yeah, man. That's a whole different world. I personally don't keep up with all the ways we got to do things. I promote my stuff like exclusively on Instagram, and it's one post on a thing and that's it. But then like to your point about the way these people want these short clips, and I say these people, but it's all of us. I'm the same way, whatever. But I posted a thing yesterday where it was just me flipping through a stack of paper. The whole thing was 8 seconds long. And I put maybe it was a common track questions on it. And it would just be flipping through pieces of paper that I make for these conversations. That's it. And it got more engagement than anything I've done in like months. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, what the hell is, why is this? What? This is nothing, but you know, it's all I try something out and that was it. And it makes
no sense. And then they're telling you, you know, what's trending now and what's doing this. Like, it's all contrived. It's made up. Like, I thought we were doing this to be off the cuff, you know, like just natural and like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they did that. And now you're sending me emails, or now I can get TikTok emails or whatever that says, this is what's going to trend in 2 months. Start making your video now. And so we're around here chasing ducks around the pond, because in 2 months, that's what people want to see. How do you know that people want to see chasing ducks in 2 months? Like, this makes no sense to me.
Up on ducks, man.
You better throw your money down because we're on to something. It's just, bro, it's foolish. It's foolish to me now. And I just, but I don't know, man. It just, but you know, it's the same thing. Like, we'll do this all the time. We'll go on tour. I'll take my break after or before soundcheck. I'll go to the local music store, the local tattoo shop, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden they're like, hey, aren't you from PD? Like, hey, yeah, what's up? You're like, dude, you guys playing? And it's like, how did you, the venue is next door, dude. How did you not know we're playing in your city, on your street of business? And they're like, no way, dude, you know, tickets still left. Yeah, dude, tickets still left. And it's like, cool, I'll see you guys there. It's like, this is what sucks. Like, how do we, where's the missed communication? Like, or where's the communication at? Like, if you're not, is it your phone? Is it here? Is it a flyer up at the skate shop? Is it word of mouth, street team? Like, we've done it all, you know, since back in the day. Someone just has, now we're just waiting on for the person to say, hey, this is how you do it. And it's like, okay, please, sir, let me know, ma'am, whatever. Let me know what I got to do next so that we can actually get people at our shows, or we can actually get people to, you know, buy a t-shirt. It's like, we're hustling. We're still hustling. It's the same thing what we did 32 years ago, hardcore days. You know, we just, we're not a part of the system that just said, hey, just show up and you'll have everything you need. And it is like that for a lot of bands.
Yeah.
Just show up. We got it. We're not that band because at some point in time, the scales were removed from our eyes and we're like, nah, dude, I ain't trying to be a part of this system. I guess I got to work for it.
Yeah.
I guess I got to work for it. And so here we are. And that's what it is. It's called work.
Man, the way you talk about the people not knowing you're playing, it takes me back right? to the first time I saw you guys, which I brought up earlier, over 20 years ago, where Man. The way that I went to that show was an old neighbor I had. I was 15 years old, right? So an old neighbor I had just called me one day and said, and I'll never forget it. This is the last time I saw him too, was this weekend. And he said, hey, Dan, do you still like rock music? And I always laugh at that. And I was like, yeah, turns out I do.
Yeah.
And he's like, would you like to go to see POD this weekend with me? I'm like, absolutely. Let's go. You know? And that was it. It was I found out about your show by a phone call.
Sick.
And then the place was packed, you know, anyway,
yeah.
you brought up ducks and I wasn't going to ask this, but I need to ask it because last night when we were sitting at dinner, one of my daughters asked me what I was going to ask you. And I jokingly told her, I'm going to ask him which species of animal does he think could defeat any other species of animal? So that's my question for you. If you had to pick one species of animal to defeat all the other species, which one do you think? Like you could take all the dogs, all the bears.
Oh, that's not fair. Yeah, that's not fair. I mean, I'm an animal lover, but I always have claimed the grizzly bear. I've always, for some reason, I don't know if it's childhood memories or what, but even when I go to the zoo, and I go to the zoo quite often, yeah. You know, I just check out the bears and I can just kick it for a minute. And I'm just like, these bears, they're just maul me. Like they look so cuddly and like, so, you know, so cute, but like, look at his teeth and look at his claws, man. He'll just rip you to shreds, you know? But then I also sit and I watch the lions and I'm like, dang, these dudes are bad to the bone. You know, same thing with the gorillas. Like, look at that, man, that monster right there.
See, I take a different, I go with the birds, man. How can anybody compete with the birds?
The air attack?
Eventually, you had enough pecs on that bear. Dude. He's going down, you know, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, but, see, you've thought this. You've thought this through. You thought of the air attack.
I'm on team bird if I had to pick team a species. But I don't know. Team cat, man, might be able to rip those birds out of the sky. So,
I'm a cat guy as far as lions go. Not domestic. My cat, she's a diva, but but I always remind myself, like, this is a little lion. So she gets to act like that. You know what I mean? She's earned the right because she's part of the lion species. But dude, I mean, let's just stick with gorilla. Bears, just because I've always had a thing for grizzly bears.
It's a good choice. So you can't go wrong. We're never going to find out who's right. So.
And they could always just hide for 6 months or whatever.
That's right. Just go down, go underground, you know, wait it out.
They kick it underground.
That's very smart. I didn't consider hibernation and all in my animal wars. But
that's the hibernation tactics.
That's good. I like that. I think we all would like to do that tactics. Every now and then. Yeah. Just I'll be back in 6 months.
You guys fight it out. I'm going to take a nap. Yeah,
exactly. All right. Yeah, I know you got a tour. I got that tour coming very soon this week. Still, that's with Bad Wolves, Norma Jean, Blind Channel. So tell me about what you got for the rest of the year with POD that you can, of course, including that.
Yeah, of course. So this will be our first USA tour, and then we're going to fly over to Europe, bang out a bunch of those festivals, and then we'll come back. We're probably already in the works of doing another USA tour because we have a few festivals towards the end of summer. So a lot of times those are just like anchor dates, and then everybody tries to, you know, fill in between. We're getting calls from South America. We'll be most likely, it'll probably be in the beginning of next year, where we'll do a full European run. So with new records, just mean new touring. So we're grateful and excited to do that. We just, we just want to get things back to normal and jump in the swing of things again.
decided it was time for me to live, but the hardest part is try. They say you either get busy with living or get busy dying. You see, there's only one me, and I'ma be who I'm supposed to be. Nobody said it would be easy. See, I was never given much, I wanna take that too. But everybody gets a chance, do what you gotta do. Can nobody take it from me or make me wanna quit? You only get one life, no matter what, you better live it.
So there you have it. That was my conversation with Sonny Sandoval. And the song you just heard was Afraid to Die, featuring Tatiana of Ginger on guest vocals. The album Veritas on Mascot Records is now available everywhere worldwide. Be sure to pick it up. There are plenty of great songs on it. That one just happens to be my favorite. Super catchy. The chorus has been in my head for weeks now. I want to thank Sonny for his time, for his conversation, for the impact he's made on my life and all of ours. Come on now. You all know in your head, Youth of the Nation, Boom, Alive, Southtown, all those songs are in your brains forever. And we can thank him for that. If you're new to the podcast, if Sonny and POD brought you here, I hope you enjoy what you heard. You stick around for more. This is episode 388, so the back catalog is vast. And there is even more available on the Patreon, which you can sign up for just $2 a month. More importantly, there's a whole website that goes along with this podcast. It's called gettingitout.net, where I post music, news, reviews, videos, podcast episodes, and more. If you pay attention there, you would have seen I just put a video up from Jamie Josta's band, Josta. They have a new track called Suicidality, featuring Phil Demmel. He's got an album about to drop called And Josta For All, with a great rip of the Metallica classic. And for reasons I'm not sure of, but I can speculate, one of the record release shows for this record is just up the street from my house in Lititz, Pennsylvania, with Overkill. If you've never been to Lititz, let me explain why this is strange and why it's not strange. Lititz is a very small town with a surprising amount actually going on in it. There's a whole complex called Rock Lititz, and it's the home base for a staging company, and it's where a lot of musicians come to practice or arrange their stage setup for big tours. So it's not uncommon to hear that Aerosmith is at the grocery store, or Ariana Grande is getting a Starbucks, or Judas Priest is at the bar. There's a shockingly high probability you will run into a rock star in this tiny town, which very few people live. So I don't know if that's why Josta's doing his record release show here. No clue at all. But anyway, there's a pretty cool venue called Mickey's Black Box where this is happening at. And that will be one of three places considered a record release show. The other being the Milwaukee Metal Fest, and another one in New Jersey at the place that E-Town Concrete plays. As expected, this record is more on the metal side, particularly thrash metal side, featuring guests like Chuck Billy from Testament, Scott Ian from Anthrax, and Steve Zetro-Zalza from Exodus. But this one that I'm going to share with you right now features Phil Demmel from Violence, Kerry King, Machine Head, many other bands, and it's called Suicidality. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.
It's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.